May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Amen. This is the first of three successive sermons on forgiveness. The title of today's sermon is, as strange as it may sound, called Forgiving God. As I sat down to begin to work on this Lenten preaching series, a person from one of my former parishes in Atlanta called me. He said that he was about to go away for a few days with the intention of lessening the stress in his life. I had not spoken with him in a while, and he then briefly rehearsed with me the last 3 years of his life and all of the tragedy that he and his family had endured. He asked if he might call me after this time away and speak with me in depth about all of this. And I suspect we will certainly look from the specific angle of where God can be found in the mix of his sadness and anxiety. I am just guessing that this is one of his pressing questions. Just a cursory hearing gave me the sure knowledge that this was more than any one person should have to endure in this life. Where was God? And is it okay to get angry with God? That sometimes in your life you should come before God and say that you forgive God. Forgiveness. It is Christ alone that can bring lasting forgiveness. It is a theme of this holy season of Lent. Forgiveness with God, forgiveness with others, forgiveness with oneself, and ultimately the desire for a lasting forgiveness that permeates our very being, that is within our hearts. I like to imagine forgiveness pumping through our heart like blood does to all the people and circumstances of our lives. Within these next three sermons, we are going to examine today what it is to forgive God, next Sunday what it is to forgive ourselves, and finally, on that third Sunday, to forgive others in our lives who have wronged us. So we begin this morning with the question, where is God this very day in your life? This is a question that we do not ask ourselves enough. Where is God in the daily? Many of us, during the steady and content times of our lives, place God along the same continuum of all of our life's activities and experiences. God may be a part of our life in some way that is the same as our personal relationships, our work, our hobbies, our social activities, and special occasions. So when it is Easter, we certainly know we will worship together on that morning. Or as we used to say in South Carolina, Mother's Day was a high holy day. People that we would never see would come to church with their mothers on Mother's Day. A wonderful thing in the proper context. However, usually all that it takes is one awful and jolting interruption to our ordinary routine for God to suddenly become center stage for us. if our home, place of business, or church had been destroyed on Friday by one of those devastating tornadoes in Kentucky, I believe God's name would be on our lips. I also suspect that if Versailles had been hit, or many of our parishioners' homes had been hit, our church would be full at all three services. Most of us are guilty of falling into this pattern of lesser and greater degrees, of kind of putting God on a shelf and taking God off that shelf when we need God most. So where is God this very day in our lives? On this second Sunday of Lent, the holiest season of the church year, centuries ago, the prophet Isaiah proclaimed, "For the mountains may depart and the hills be removed, but my steadfast love shall not depart from you, and my covenant of peace shall not be removed, says the Lord, who has compassion on you." Most of us have had some circumstance, some event, or some loss in our life that has jettisoned us into this place of questioning God. And maybe there are even some of us who have traveled beyond the questioning to a place of anger toward God, or a feeling of total abandonment by God. The feeling that we hear proclaimed by Christ on the cross shortly before his death. Certainly a major tragedy in our lives can lead us to such a place. We cannot imagine this morning what it would be like in West Liberty, as those residents, some are now returning for the first time to the town that is no more, to their homes that are there no more, places of business that are no more. William Sloan Coffin, the great preacher and senior pastor of Riverside Church in New York, once wrote the following words. He said, "What in the very center of tragedy frees us for action, frees us also for gratitude. Much, of course, we do not understand. But all that this is made bearable by the little we do understand. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away does not mean God is directly responsible for every birth and every death. I would add every tornado. What it does mean is that before every birth and every death, there is still God. He is the source and the ending, the Alpha and the Omega. And if we depend radically on him," he writes, "then we are free from dependent attachments, attachments through whom we hope to have all our longings satisfied." You see, sooner or later, our Christian spiritual journeys will bring us to a cross at the road. And at that cross of suffering and questioning, we will have the choice of either getting on our knees and taking hold of the hardwood of the cross, risking getting splinters in our hands, or not touching that cross and turning our backs and looking away from God, feeling angry and abandoned. And we often have to go through the latter to get to the former. But we must get there somehow if we are ever to move forward to that place of forgiveness that God desires for us. God desires forgiveness for us. The truth of the matter is, of course, that God does not need our forgiveness. For God is not the cause of grief and tragedy in our lives. It is, however, we that need to allow God's forgiveness to flow through our hearts in such a way that we are at peace with God, able to move forward, and at one with the cross that we knelt before and grasped. Forgiving God, what it is an acknowledgement that God was present at the beginning, God is present at the end, and God is with you now, and desires to lead you now on that spiritual path of forgiveness as way of being, way of living, way of acting. God wants us to move from feeling angry and abandoned to forgiveness. So back to the original question. Where is God this very day in your life? On this second Sunday of the holiest season of the church year. God is Alpha and Omega, present at all beginnings and all endings. Are we ready to move forward to the place of forgiveness that God deeply desires for us? Amen.